Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? What does safe mean to you? The dictionary defines safe as protected from or not exposed to danger or risk, not likely to be harmed or lost. And in the context of diving, we often think about the physical risks. These can include decompression sickness, animal-induced injuries, separated from the team or boat, entanglement, lost within a cave system, or running out of gas. These are all credible negative outcomes which we should be concerned about. In fact, a number of these appear in the 2008 research paper from Dan, Common Causes of Open Circuit Recreational Diving Fatalities, which examined triggers, disabling event or injuries and causes of death in diving, and so they should be definitely considered as part of our risk management plans and diving plans. But what about another form of safety? A form which Google under Project Aristotle identified as the key trait of high-performing teams and without which nothing else really mattered. A form which Professor Amy Edmondson has written numerous books and Harvard Business Review papers highlighting that it is this which allows unfamiliar teams to come together and operate effectively. A form which, when missing, has led to the failure of organizations and businesses such as Kodak, Blockbuster, and Radio Shack. And yet this is also a form which is equally relevant to recreational, technical, scientific, and military diving because it involves the interaction of individuals in a social environment. Note that this isn't just a team diving thing, but is especially relevant to instructors and students, instructor candidates and instructor trainers, and even instructor peers within an organization. This safety is psychological safety, and it is rarely, if at all, covered in diver training. It is not the same as trust, nor is it the same as a just culture. More about that in a few minutes. Yet the presence or absence can be the difference literally between life and death. Team psychological safety is defined as a shared belief that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. In essence, will I be made to feel stupid, ashamed, criticized, or put down for asking a question or making a statement? In the majority of cases, this belief tends to be tacit, that is, it is taken for granted and not given direct attention either by individuals or by the team. Importantly, although tacit beliefs about interpersonal norms or culture are sometimes openly discussed in a team, bringing the team's attention to them, therefore making them explicit, does not alter the essence of team psychological safety. When psychological safety is high, people take more ownership and release more discretionary effort to the task at hand. How much effort people have to apply compared to what they will apply. It's worth noting that trust is primarily a one-to-one relationship. For example, you trust me to do something you have asked me to do, and I trust you to give me something I can do, or I trust you to keep a secret. Psychological safety is a one-to-many and many-to-one relationship. A just culture is the recognition that we are all fallible, irrespective of experience and knowledge, and that context should be taken into account when judging the errors or violations which have been made. But at the same time, those who commit sabotage, willful negligence, or violations for personal gain should be punished accordingly. In his recently published book, Four Stages of Psychological Safety, Dr. Timothy Clark identifies that psychological safety is a condition in which you feel 1. Included, 2. Safe to learn, 3. Safe to contribute, and 4. Safe to challenge. His book charts how we move through these 4 stages. I shall summarize those stages and their relevance to diving now. Stage 1 is the informal admittance into the team or group. We need to be accepted before we can be heard. Note that in many cases, being ignored is worse than being rejected, and when we can't get acceptance or approval from others, attention is sought by other means, sometimes destructive. The relevance to diving is that diving is very tribal, and if you are wearing the wrong badge, agency, equipment, style, then you will struggle to be accepted unless someone can provide psychological safety. Instructors need to be aware of this when dealing with students from other tribes, not to make throwaway and derogatory comments about other tribes. Stage 2 is learner safety, and where we feel able to undertake discovery by asking questions, experimenting socially and technically, and even making mistakes. Without learner safety, the individual remains passive. When we harshly correct or criticize others for their learning and their associated mistakes, then learner safety is crushed. By increasing learner safety, we can build confidence, resilience, and independence. By developing learner safety, it is possible to supplement the individual's lack of confidence with the team's confidence. In the context of diving, one of the challenges here is the gifted instructor who forgets what it is like to be a beginner and not know things, rushing through the training to meet a time deadline. On the contrary, letting the student develop and allowing them to fail safely will allow the student to release more discretionary effort and achieve more. Stage 3 is contributor safety, and this comes about after the individual has demonstrated the competency to the team or organization. This might be via physical demonstration, qualifications, or credentials. The individual is then given permission to contribute without necessarily being asked. However, despite having credentials, the individual might not be allowed to contribute because of insecurities of the leader, personal or institutional biases, team norms, or a lack of empathy. In the context of diving, this could be where students are in a class, but are unable to contribute to the discussion relating to a potentially better way of doing something, or when instructors are contributing to agency materials and they are put down by the lead individual. This means that team or organizational learning is reduced or pushed back. Stage 4 is challenger safety. This is where it is possible to challenge the status quo without retribution, reprisal, or the risk of damaging their own personal reputation or credibility. This gives the individual the confidence to speak up when something needs to be said. There are numerous tragic examples of this in diving, but one I am intimately involved with concerns the death of Brian Budgie in May 2018, where one of those on the boat, a fellow training course member, internally considered the situation just before Brian got off the boat with his oxygen turned off on his CCR, unknown to both Brian and the course mate, saying to themselves that they should call this dive and that it wasn't right to be doing this in this way. However, there was no challenger safety present, and the dive carried on, with Brian dying very shortly after getting into the water due to hypoxia. To me, the most important level of psychological safety in diving is the last one, challenger safety, because this is often the last opportunity to raise a concern before something bad happens. There is an often quoted term, anyone can thumb a dive at any time for any reason, no questions, but in reality, this isn't always the case. Stages 1, 2, and 3 may be present, but without stage 4, then the thumb is unlikely to go up, even when there is a realization that things are going wrong. At the beginner level, the diver is unlikely to be in stage 3, let alone 4. For a start, they don't know what they don't know, so how can they contribute? To me, this is why effective teamwork is really important in diving. Not because the technical tasks that can be achieved as part of a team can exceed those of solo divers or same ocean divers, but because when you are part of a high-performing team, the level of psychological safety is high, and then it is possible to challenge when you need to. It also identifies why effective leadership in diver training is needed. A level of teamwork needs to be developed by instructors within recreational and instructor development classes too, because instructors drift. They make mistakes, and we need to create the environment whereby students or peers can halt or slow this drift. They do this by providing feedback in a non-critical manner, separating the observed activity or event from the person. If the only feedback you get as an organization is something major going wrong being reported by the quality control QC forms, then the organization is not being proactive in managing the risks. Challenger safety isn't just about managing risks, but it also applies to innovation and development too. If we want new ideas to come to the fore regarding instructional techniques, safety concepts, equipment design, or environmental practices, we need to support challenger safety. When there is no tolerance for candor, there is no constructive dissent. When there is no constructive dissent, there is no innovation. Dr. Timothy Clark. Note that you normally only get one chance to support challenger safety. if someone challenges the status quo and they get negatively criticized or put down, they are unlikely to speak up again. And this could mean both safety is compromised and innovation reduced. That is, unless they have nothing to lose and have a passion for making that improvement. However, at some point, they will give up and walk away. So, how can you start to develop psychological safety within your team, with your students, or with your peers? Get and give feedback. Three simple questions you can use. One thing I do well, why? One thing I need to do more of, and why? One thing I need to do less of, and why? Use observable behaviors and comment on the impact it has on you. Be specific, don't be general. You can download a guide to more on this from the show notes. If you want to learn more about this topic, I have put more links in the show notes too. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.